next at the plate for the Yankees, Hank Bauer. On deck, Mickey Mantle.
When we met in 1938, it was November. When I said that I would be his mate, it was December. I reasoned he would be the greatest husband that a girl had ever found. That's what I reasoned. That's what I reasoned. Then April rolled around.
Strike three, ball four, walk around, I'll tie the score. You're blind, ump, you're blind, ump, you must be out of your mind, ump.
6 months out of every year, I might as well be made of stone. 6 months out of every year when I'm with him, I'm alone. 6 months out of every year, he doesn't take me anywhere. 6 months out of every year when I play cards, solitaire. The other 6 months out of every year, we are hardly ever seen apart. But then the Washington Senators take over my place in his heart. 6 months out of every year, I might as well be wearing crepe. Life is just an awful bore from which I find no escape. 6 months out of every year.
Strike three, ball four, walk around, I'll tie the score. Fly ball, double play, Yankees win again today. Those damn Yankees, why can't we beat them? He's out, he's safe, he's out, he's safe, he's out, he's safe, he's out. You're blind up, you're blind up, you must be out of your mind up.
6 months out of every year, he lives by the television set.
He's out, he's safe, he's out.
If you see that man of mine, how does he look? I forget.
Let's go!
6 months out of every year, we know there is no other day.
He's out, he's safe, he's out.
If he isn't home by 6, it's 6:01. There's a game.
Let's go.
6 months out of every year, when we cook for them, it never pays.
Ah.
Instead of praising our goulash, they're appraising the plays of Willie Mays.
He's out, he's safe, he's out, he's safe, he's out, he's safe, he's out. Strike three, four, four, fuck the run of Tyler's phone.
He might as well be wearing crepes.
He's win again today.
Life
dead
is just a level of on which I find.
He's out, he's safe, he's out.
No,
it's blind up, you're blind up, you must be out of your mind up.
We're dying for the mercury to shot the three below. We're crying for the happy days of bicycles and snow. We don't mind singing solo, that is once a year or so. But with them, it's a career.
What are you waiting for? April, May, June, July, August, yeah. September.
Ah, April, May, June, July, August,
five.
September.
Ooh.
6 months
out of it.
Start the cooler, gas the car, tell the GPS we're going real far. Hug your mom, cause we'll be gone for a while. We're making the hot American style. 29 Meccas, a destination. There's every single park in this baseball nation. Fenway to Petco, Landshark to Safeco. We'll see the Twins in the Metro. Might even head up to Toronto. Turn the field.
trail that's a Benzabine, the greatest road trip you've ever seen. We're on a mission to Visitation, every last park in this baseball nation. Take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd. We're gonna buy some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, we're gonna cheer the teams out now. From the opening pitch to the ninth of game seven, we're gonna be lost in the horse-eyed heaven. All American celebration, we're doing every park in this baseball nation. Field. The Big Ed Comiskey, the house of Ruth built. There ain't no pigskin hoop or puck can make a drive across the country in a beat-up truck. From here on out, we got one fixation, every single park in this baseball nation. Take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd. We're gonna have us a beer, a chili dogs. We're gonna cheer the teams out now. From the opening pitch to the ninth of game seven, we're gonna be lost in a horse-eyed heaven. All-American celebration, spending the rest of our summer vacation like a couple of nomads on a long migration. We're on a quest for an intimate relation with every doggone park in this baseball nation.
Well,
in this baseball nation.
It's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's triple A. We sit below the Marlboro Man, above the Rockville Wall. We do the wave all by ourselves. Hey, Ump, a blind man could have made that call. We like our beer flat as can be. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the Chiefs. Call it a win, go off to toast the boys again. That local band is back in town. They got a kind of minor league sound. They're not that bad, they're not that good, but all in all it's understood. We wanna dance, they wanna play. We wouldn't have it any other way. We like our beer flat as can be. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats. Now the majors called up, oh, what's his name? And one more building rises tall. And suddenly we're all grown up. And this old town's not quite so small. But I'll always miss the middle-sized town in the middle of the Middle West. With no-name pitchers, local bands, and mustard and relish and all the rest. We like our beer. Bad as can be. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats.
Tigers groove to Omaha, they gonna move at the box. shoulders at the box. All the backfield players try to get another hit at the box. Well, let's go! A baseball at the box. Let's go to the box.
Oh, baby.
Johnny at the box.
Oh, baby.
Tigers to the top. Baseball at the box. Yeah. A baseball soccer tiger stole the dinky stop. They on a roll at the box.
Box, box, box.
When the ball fly out of here, be in the stands, give a cheer at the box.
Box, box, box.
Do the baseball celebration time. At the box,
box, box.
Yeah, time to swing, time to screw. Go on my heart, they're gonna move at the box. Where the play is the smoothest and the skip is the coolest at the box. All the bats will play, time to get another hit at the box. Well, let's go! A baseball at the box. Let's go to the box.
Oh, baby.
Join me at the box.
Lord, I was born.
Hello, Olympic Games.
What can I do for you, Mr. Double A? You've got a game. How many couples? 18 people? That's a lot of people. Well, the ideal game is, two, three couples, come over to the house, they get a little smashed, and, you can't play it in the house either. See, you got two things right there against you. All right, tell me about it. All right, you got nine guys on each side.
Yeah.
And you got a pitcher and a catcher. And they throw this ball back and forth. And that's all there is to it? All right. A guy from the other side stands between them with a bat. I see. And he just watches them. Oh, I see. He swings at it. He may or he may not swing at it. Depending on what?
If it looked like it were a ball. What's a ball, Mr. Doubleday? You've got this plate.
Uh-huh.
And as long as it's above the knees, but below the shoulders... Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm listening. Yeah. It's a strike. Three strikes and you're out. And three balls. Not three balls. Four balls. Why four balls, Mr. Double? Nobody's ever asked you before.
Or he may hit it. If he hits it, what happens? He runs as far as he can... Before somebody catches it. As long as it stays what? As long as it stays fair. And what's fair, Mr. Double? You've got these two white lines? Is this a rib? Is this one of the guys in the office? Who is it? Mr. Double A, that's the most complicated game I've ever heard in my life. Forget it. Right. Mr. Double A, listen though. You come up with anything, two, three couples, you'll be sure and let us know, huh? All right, Mr. Double A, I'll be talking. Bye.
And salute and homage. Let's go. The MVP's Hall of Famers, big time gamers, bring out the big guns, strikeouts and home runs. Real dream team now rested in peace. A play by play on top of these beats. I take a ride to that ballpark in the sky. A field of dreams, can't forget Charlotte pride. So I'm going way back in my mind till I'm gone. Say the field of dreams, you may not believe it. 2020, Bob Gibson versus Tom Seaver. Line up today, stack the bottom to the top. The leadoff hitter is the great Lou Brock. And a pitch on the way, single, stolen base. And a second on deck, Joe Morgan at the plate. MVP two times, the big red machine. Better get him out now before the Astros wipe him clean. Bob Watson scoring a million runs. Up next, Jimmy Winn, a.k.a. the Toy Can. And line drive out K-line and they all come home. Ahead of the throw by Jay Johnstone. The MVP's Hall of Famers, big time gamers, bring out the big guns, strikeouts and home runs. Real dream team now rested in peace. A play by play on top of these beats. I take a ride to that ballpark in the sky. A field of dreams, can't forget Charlotte pride. So I'm going way back in my mind till I'm gone. Move on.
2020 threw us all a heck of a knuckleball like Phil's. 2020 threw us all a heck of a knuckleball like Phil's.
Ground ball to second to the Cubs, Glenn Beckett, replaced by Tony Taylor, the Cuban legend, pinch running replacement, Horace Clark, Dick Allen, two-run blast high up out the park. Don Larson got perfect, tough to handle. Hal Smith struck out, then Oscar Gamble. Lenny McDaniel in relief of Whitey Ford, got Bob Lee looking on three strikes. Lord. MVPs, Hall of Famers, big-time gamers, bring out the big guns, strikeouts and home runs. Real dream team now rested in peace. A play-by-play on top of these beats. A ticket ride to that ballpark in the sky. A field of dreams, can't forget Charlotte Pride. So I'm going way back in my mind till I'm gone.
When we get to St. Louis, will you tell me the guys' names on the team so when I see them in that big St. Louis ballpark, I'll be able to know those fellas?
All right, but you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
Funny names.
Nicknames, pet names. Now, on the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
You know the fellas' names?
Yes.
And who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow on first base.
Who?
Fellow playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who's on first?
Why are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you who is on first.
You guys talking about me?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we are. This is who?
How should I know? I never met the guy.
Well, now you've met him.
Met who?
Yes.
Look. Would you tell me your name?
Who?
You.
Who?
Him.
Me?
Yes.
Who?
What is your name?
No, no, no. What's on second? This is who?
That's what I'm trying to find out!
All right, calm down, will you?
Okay, listen. When I say hello to this fellow right here, I'm saying hello to who?
Hello, nice to meet you.
See, now you're starting to get it.
Get what?
I'm right here.
And who are you?
I'm who?
What?
Yes.
Who's this fella?
No, who is that fella?
I am who? Who am I?
How am I supposed to know? What's your name?
Now, what is his name?
I'm not asking you what his name is. I'm asking you, who is this fella right here?
That's right.
But what's his name?
What is my name?
You don't know your name.
Of course I do.
Well, then tell me.
What?
Your name.
What?
What's wrong with this guy?
Who?
What?
Yes.
Oh, I think he's got a hearing problem.
Who?
What?
Yes.
Look. Can't you see him talking to him?
Who?
What?
Who?
What?
Who?
What?
Who?
What? Boys, boys, settle down. Now then, I'm glad that's all cleared up. He's who and what's his name?
I don't know!
All right, gentlemen, I couldn't help overhearing the conversation. Look, it's very simple. This fella's actual name is who? W-H-O. And this fella's actual given birth name is what? W-H-A-T.
Well, that clears it up. Why didn't you just say that in the first place? But wait, who are you?
I don't know.
Third base!
Lucky strike, take two.
Janie throwed a curve my way just when I thought that I was going places. And Susie had me in her glove until one day I caught her stealing bases. I had two strikes against me and I thought the game was done. Till you stepped on the mound and then I knew I'd get a run. Cause when I saw you, I knew I'd made a lucky strike. I knew I'd made the major league the moment that you pitched your heart my way. So I throwed mine to you in hopes that you would catch it for a double play. old umpire had to tell me that I'd finally made a score. Cause your lips promised victory and then a whole lot more. I mean it, baby. For me, you were a lucky strike. Each time you come on deck, the thought of what a catch I've made just makes me shiver. And I get weak just thinking of the unique way you wind up and deliver. Let's go pick out a diamond and we'll play this game for life. By now it should be plain to you, I want you for my wife. I mean it, baby. For me, you were a lucky strike.
Cheating when everybody throws stuff. Went to the ballpark yesterday. I went to see the home team play. But the home team weren't the home team anymore. Now instead a brand new sign revealed, "Welcome to Dean Witter Field." I should have known right then and there what was in store. Yeah, some Wall Street suits had bought the field, fired the team, cut some deals, and brought up 9 new guys from AAA. Okay, they said, so these guys suck. It's sponsorship brings in the bucks. Let's make this national pastime really pay. So stand up for the Starkey Spangled Banner. Then sit down in your Clorox bleacher seat. The Bud Light pitcher's on the Peter Paul mound, and the Aunt Jemima batter feels the heat. Here's a wind-up for the UPS delivery. The pitcher's on the Trojan rubber taking aim. Every grounder, every fly comes with something you can buy at the new ball game. Well, the umpires, they were there with big red noses and orange hair. "Play McBall!" yelled that clown behind the plate. And that bench clear and brawl was brought to you by Mrs. Paul after that Campbell's pork and bean ball in the eighth. In the Seagram's fifth, our team was winning. But in the next Ramada inning, a jiffy pop to ShopRite Field. Oh, great. That bummy went and dropped the ball. It rolled out to the Walmart wall, and 3 runs came across the Dixie paper plate.
Ground ball is short. Robertson Fields fires to first. It's in the dirt, but Sanchez scoops it out. Man, that kid has good hands.
Holy cow, Steve. It's like the good hands you're in with Allstate.
That's right, Mel. All-stars pick Allstate 10 times out of 10. And now you can pay your premiums online.
Guess it's time to pull out those MasterCards then.
Charge! So stand up for the Starkey Spangled Banner. The Casablanca fans are in the stands. They're rooting for the home team. Could this corporate thing be getting out of hand? There's a ground round grounder to the shortstop, to the first national base to end the frame. It's a brave new world, and I think I'm gonna hurl at the new ball game.
I really mean
at
it.
The new
It is a new game, but it's still the old game, right? It's still the same old game. One strike, two strikes, ball three, ball four, stuff like that, right? All right, well, anyway, good evening. My name is KBC, and this is my 13th baseball show, it turns out. So we'll keep them going as long as we can. Let's see, we started out, of course, with the New York Mets national anthem. Moment of silence, please. That was Jane Jarvis, who played the organ at Shea Stadium and the Polo Grounds and everywhere else. We heard Overture and 6 months of Every Year from the Broadway play Damn Yankees, and later the movie, right? Same thing. All right, Baseball Nation was Tony Lewis. Grant Salami Time was the Baseball Project. We'll hear from them again. Alabama in the Cheap Seats. Let's see, Baseball at the Box, John Fred and his Playboy Band. Singing about the bandbox in Detroit that was Tiger Stadium. I Was Born a Cardinals Fan from Bill Alexander. I remember a time when the Cardinals were pond scum. Yeah. Nobody Will Ever Play Baseball was Bob Newhart. Let's see. Hard to See My Baseball Cards. Move On from Chuck D. Not sure what that meant, but he mentioned a lot of names. All right. Who Was on First? The sequel from Jimmy Fallon featuring Billy Crystal and Jerry Seinfeld. Jim Miner was the one who gave us Lucky Strike. I thought that was cute. And then let's see, the Baseball Project again, and that was Stuff. Beware the Stuff. It's more illegal than marijuana, even then. The new ball game, that was Modern Man, and here we are, back to the old ball game. Baseball has a very, very rich history, which I'm sure people would like to delete, because they just like to delete history and make things up. So we'll do our best to keep that from happening, okay? So, yeah, got a couple of oldies coming up. But first...
man had his plan just to root for the hometown through every school. Katie Blue, on a Saturday, her young boy called to see if she'd like to go to see a show. But Miss Kate said, no, I'll tell you what you can do. Take me out to the board game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and cracker jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Saw all the games, knew the players by their first name, called the umpire, he was wrong all along, good and strong. When the score was just 2-2-2, Katie, Katie knew what to do, just to cheer up the boys he knew, he made the gang sing this song. Out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and cracker jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game.
Great big lot, spend all you've got. There is the spot. Talk about fun in the old summertime. Rockaway Coney, I look like a dime. All that you need is a baseball and bat. Throw off your coat, take off your hat. Now are you on what I fight to get at? It's a baseball game. Come let's all take a trip to the ball game. Don't run short, be a sport. It's a real Yankee game, you can gamble. Don't be late, he is great. Get your chewing gum, candy, and peanuts. Join the boys in the noise and raise pain. If one gives in there, your soul to declare. It's great at a baseball game. Follow the crowd on a bright sunny day, merry and gay, go see them play. Ding goes the bell and the game has begun. Crack goes the ball and that starts off the fun. Hear them all shout with excitement intense. There goes the ball over the fence. No use in talking, it's simply a mint at a baseball game. Come, let's all take a trip to the ball game. Don't run short, be a sport. It's a real Yankee game, you can gamble. Don't be late, he is great. Get your chewing gum, candy, and peanuts. Join the boys in the noise and raise pain. If once you've been there, you're sure to declare it's great at a baseball game. Come, let's all take a trip to the ball game. Don't run short, be a sport. It's a real Yankee game, you can gamble. Don't be late, he is great. Get your chewing gum, candy, and peanuts. Join the boys in the noise and raise hands. If once you've been there, you're sure to declare it's good at a baseball game.
Oh, Mary, I'm so glad you come, because I got so much to talking to you about. Do you know where I was yesterday, Mary? I bet you can't guess. I was on a ball game. That's the craziest thing I ever was to. I remember one time, when before me and Ollie was married, you know, we was just dancing together, he asked me on the telephone if I want to go and see the Tigers play the Cubs. I said, sure, and I danced. And I was dancing all afternoon in front of the zoo at Lincoln Park, and Ollie never come at all. But yesterday Ollie came home, and he was all excited. He said we was going on a baseball game and see the White Sox play. I was on the downtown in the morning, and I bought a nice pair of those cute little white half socks. They're so nice and cool. So I thought if I was going to a baseball game, I would put them on. My man, there was many people on that ball game. Goodness, among the folks I always had to meet leave. We were sitting there, you nice and good, soon, you know, there was an awful screaming. And I said, Ole, what's the matter now? And what do you think he said, Mary? That someone had struck a foul. That means a chicken, don't it? You think so mean as to hit a poor little chicken. And then they started to yell and holler some more, and I said, for the love of Mike, Ole, what is it now? And he said, someone had caught a fly. Can you think anything so dumb, Mary? And you stop and catch a fly when you're playing baseball? Oh, I thought it was the craziest thing. But pretty soon, Ole was looking in the back for the grandstand, and he said a friend of his up there had given him the high sign. I said, Ole, what do you mean by high sign? He said, I meant the high ball. Oh, I didn't know what he meant, but then he went up to see his friend, and he said, you sit here and look on the game. And I was sitting there, and so I didn't enjoy it at all. But you know that man that has the stick, Mary? You know that one that has the stick. He hits the ball awfully hard. And it just flew over my way. I turned around to look for Ole, and there he was up there standing and yelling, come on home, you fool, come on home. Then I went up to him so fast as I could. And when I got up there, he yelled, come on back, you simp, come on back. Oh, Mary, to think that Ole should ever talk to me like that. Oh, I felt so bad. I turned to go back, and yes, then I slipped. And would you believe it, Mary, that Ole yelled, slide! And every man in the grandstand was yelling, slide in me, until they were purple in the face. And I slid until I come to a post. Then, pretty soon, Ole come down to help me. Oh, I was mad. I said, Ole, why are all those men yelling on me? Oh, he was the exercise, and he said, the White Sox has got a run in. I said, what do I care? I got another pair home, and you should shame yourself to let all those men yell on your wife.
Well, Maggie, it's your birthday, and it's my treat. What's the program, kid?
Anything you like, Timmy, so long as it was you.
Ha-ha, well, jump on the trolley, girlie. I know a place on a great big lot. Get all you got for there is a spot. You talk about fun in the old summertime. Why, Rockaway, Coney Island, look like a shrine. All that you need is a baseball and bat. Throw off your coat, take off your hat. Be down here, girlie. Do you know where you're at?
Sure, the baseball game. Oh, and it's crowded.
Wait till I light me cigar.
Then we have all the room we want, huh, Jimmy?
Ah, quit your kidding.
Oh, look at the long neck on the umpire.
I wish I had it. I'd come out of the game every day and rubber over the fence.
Me too.
Ladies and gentlemen, the batteries for today's game are New York, McGinnity and Bowerman. Or Pittsburgh, Cleaver and Gibson. Play ball.
Ain't he big?
That pitcher is big enough to hold three quarts easy.
There goes the fight ball.
Right one.
Oh, the pitcher let the ball pass.
He's got a glass arm. He's afraid he'll break it, I guess. Right two.
He didn't strike two, Jimmy. He missed them both times.
Oh, watch the game.
Where's the ball, Jimmy?
Where you will be in a minute up in the air. Oh, she ain't at a high ball.
Does it make you thirsty, Jimmy?
Quit that. Say, when you look at that catcher, why, that wooden Indian couldn't stop a toy balloon.
Seats to game four of the 45 World Series, Cubs against Detroit. One seat he would sit in, the other was for his kid, a goat by the name of Murphy, who the Cubs always had admitted. That day, I'm not sure would not let them to their box in Wrigley Field. So directly to the owner, P.K. Wrigley, he appealed. The answer came from Wrigley. It was final and succinct. Said there'd been a few complaints. Some people didn't like the stink. Lucianus, he was livid, and his face was turning blue. He went out past the turnstiles onto Waveland Avenue. The vendors on the sidewalk say he raised his arms up first. With his hands above his head, they say he placed the curse. And just then, a cloud passed over from the lake, a chilly wind. And anybody with an earshot would have had goosebumps on their skin. Skeptics say baloney, poets make a verse. 60-some years later, they still blame it on the curse. Box seats for witness as the Tigers took the game like they would games 5 and 7. The Cubbies come out lame. Old Billy Golcianus got the last word. Holy cow! He telegrammed Mr. Wrigley and he asked him who smells now. He had stared at Leo DeRocher, stared right at his lip. Leo stood there staring back with his hands upon his hips. On the top step of the dugout, cat the color of a hearse, they blew a 9-game lead in 69. People say it was the curse. Well, they were playing for the pennant in 1984. Against the San Diego Padres, only had to win one more to advance to the World Series. But they slipped into reverse. First baseman flubbed the grounder. People blame it on the curse. Oh, they say cloud passed over from the lake, a chilly wind. Anybody with an earshot would have had goosebumps in their skin. Skeptics say it's hoo-ha, the poets make a verse. 60-some years later, they still blame it on the curse. Most recently,
recently, 2003, just 5 hours away, when a Cubs fan tried to catch a foul while the ball was still in play. The lockers had been plasticized, but the bubble had just burst. The Marlins drank the champagne, people blame it on the curse. So just ask someone in Boston how long it took to break the curse, the Bambino, with an annual heartache. Every time it happens, well, it just feels that much worse. They say there's always next year, but that might be the curse. They say a cloud passed over from the lake, chilly wind. Anybody within earshot would have had goosebumps on their skin. Skeptics say baloney, the poets make up verse. 60-some years later, they still blame it on the curse.
It was looking rather hopeful for our Duisburg team that day. We were leading Mudville 4-2 with an inning left to play. We got Cooney on a grounder, Muldoon on the same. Two out, none on, top of the ninth. We thought we won the game. Mudville was despairing, and we grinned and cheered and clapped to think that after all these years our losing string had snapped. And we only wished that Casey, the big, fat, ugly lout, would be the patsy who would make the final shameful out. Oh, how we hated Casey. He was a blot upon the game. Every dog in Duisburg barked at the mention of his name. A bully and a braggart, a cretin and a swine. If Casey came to bat, we'd put it where the moon don't shine. Two out, and up came Flynn to bat with Jimmy Blake on deck. And the former was a loser, and the latter was a wreck. And though the game was in the bag, the Duisburg fans were hurt to think that Casey would not come and get his just dessert. But Flynn, he got a single, the most unlikely sight. And Blake swung like a spastic, but he poked it deep to right. And when the dust had settled and fickle fate had beckoned, there was Flynn hugging third and Jimmy safe at second. And then from every Duisburg throat arose a lusty cry, "Send up the slimy meatball and let him stand and die. Throw the mighty slider, let him hear it whiz, and let him hit a pop-up like the pansy that he is." There was pride in Casey's visage as he strode across the grass. There was scorn in his demeanor as he calmly scratched his back. 10,000 people booed him when he stepped into the box, and they made a very vulgar sound when he bent to fix his socks. And now the fabled slider came spinning toward the mitt, and Casey watched it coming, and he did not go for it. And the umpire jerked his arm like he was hauling in the sun, and the cry rang from the box seats to the bleachers, "Steve! Strike one!" 10,000 Duisburg partisans raised such a mighty cheer, the pigeons in the rafters crapped and ruined all the beer. "You filthy, ignorant, rotten, slimy, miserable son of a gun," we yelled at mighty Casey, and then came the second one. It was our hero's fastball, and it came across the plate, and according to the radar, it was going 98, and according to the umpire, it came in straight and true, and the cry rang from the toilet to the bullpen, "Strike two!" 10,000 Duisburg fans arose in joyful, loud derision to question Casey's salary, his manhood, and his vision. Then, while the Duisburg pitcher put the rosin on the ball, 10,000 people hooted to think of Casey's fall. Oh, the fury in his visage as he spat tobacco juice and heard our little children screaming violent abuse. He knocked the dirt from off his spikes, reached down, and eased his pants. "What's the matter? Did you lose him?" cried a lady in the stands. And then the Duesberg pitcher stood majestic on the hill and leaned in toward the plate. And then the crowd was still, and he went into his windup, and he kicked and let it go. And then the air was shattered with the force of Casey's blow. He swung so hard, his hair fell off, and he fell down in disgrace. And the Duesberg catcher held the ball, and the crowd tore up the place with Casey lying in the dirt amid the boos and jeers. We threw wieners down at him and other souvenirs. We pounded on the dugout roof when they helped him to the bench, and we ran out to the parking lot and got a monkey wrench and found the Mudville bus and took the lug nuts off the tires and attached some firecrackers to the alternator wires. We rubbed the doors and windows with a special kind of cheese that smells like something died from an intestinal disease. Old Casey took his sweet time, but we were glad to wait, and we showered him with gravel as he came out through the gate. So happy were the Duesberg fans that great and glorious day. It took a dozen cops to help poor Casey get away. Then we grabbed hold of the bumpers and we rocked him to and fro. And he cursed us from inside the bus. And gosh, we loved it so. Sometimes in America, the sun is shining bright. Life is joyful sometimes and all the world seems right. But there is no joy in Duesberg, no joy so pure and sweet as when the mighty Casey fell, demolished at our feet.
Pleasure for us to welcome another great baseball figure to our Bob and Ray booth this afternoon. One of the great first basemen of all time with the old Highlanders, I guess
Frank,
it was.
The old Highlanders,
and later manager, Frankie Papp. Frank, it's a pleasure to have you in here today.
It's a pleasure to be back, and I would like to say that I enjoyed that anecdote very much. Well,
they tell me, Frankie, you've got quite a few anecdotes of your own.
Great many anecdotes. I have found through the years that baseball anecdotes go down through the years.
In other words,
if it happened to happen to Doubleday in 1890, it's sure going to happen to Walt Dropo in 1955.
Well, I guess that stands to reason. Frankie, tell us what you remember as one of the most maybe embarrassing moments you ever had on the playing field.
Well, it's an anecdote much like Leo told here recently on your program. And it was the first day I was in the big leagues. I come up to bat, and the first time up, I was a little shaky up there, and I was a little slow on getting signals at the time.
Sure.
I was trying to remember them. It was my first day. I remember the third base coach had tipped his hat. I meant something.
Sure.
The first baseman would bend over and pick up a stone. That meant something.
That's right.
And so forth.
Go ahead. There you were, standing up there and trying to remember the signals and trying to figure out.
Well, I was up at bat. I swung left-handed. And the pitch out there in the mound, I don't know if you remember him.
No, I don't. But go ahead.
And he was out there. He wound up and they let them come in there. I could hardly... Well, in fact, I couldn't say it.
Uh-huh.
And the stands around me, send the bump back.
Kind of trying to rattle you a little bit, Frankie, huh?
That's right. And behind the plate, you probably remember him, the umpire.
Yes, I do.
And it was three high, hard ones. They went right by me, three called strikes. Well, I was mad. I took my bat and I threw it way up.
Uh-oh.
That way, was way up.
Pretty outward sign of anger there.
It went up above the second tier of stands.
Uh-huh.
And the umpire said to me, young man. I was a young man then.
Sure.
He said, young man, if that bat comes down, you're out of the game.
Well, there's a real baseball story, if I ever heard one. And I know that you've got a lot more, Frankie Papp, but it certainly has been nice talking to you.
It's been swell.
And that'll go into the annals, I'm sure. Thanks for dropping by.
Will this be buried in Washington?
Stadium night, catfish on the mound, strike three, the umpire says, batter has to go back and sit down.
million-dollar man. Nobody can throw the ball like Cathy can. Used to work on Mr. Finley's farm, but the old man wouldn't pay, so he packed his glove and took his arm. And one day he just ran away. $1 million. Nobody can throw the ball like catfish can. Come up where the Yankees are, dress up in a pinstripe suit, smoke a custom-made cigar, wear an alligator boot. Happiness, $1 million man. Nobody can throw the ball like Cafe.
The United States Navy brings you the adventures of Babe Ruth. And here to tell you about the immortal Babe is the man who knew him so well, his pal, the popular sports reporter, Steve Martin.
The big fella had an eagle eye for promising young ballplayers. And one spring, he brought a rookie catcher, whom I'll call Bobby Lee, to the Yankees training camp. The kid looked great, which didn't please Duke Adams. You see, Duke figured to be the regular catcher that season, and he started trouble on the train while we were working our way north.
This kid, Bobby Lee, where'd you find him, Babe?
Oh, in some little league in Iowa, Duke.
Iowa? Last week you said Minnesota.
Oh, did I? Oh, maybe it was Minnesota. I was on a barnstorming.
Lee said you discovered him in California.
Well, I guess that's where it was then.
It wasn't. I looked through all the league records for California and for Iowa and Minnesota, too. There wasn't any Bobby Lee listed.
Oh, there wasn't?
Nah, he wasn't in organized baseball last year or the year before either. You guys are lying, Babe.
Now, wait a minute.
You're trying to cover up something.
Now, look, I don't like being called a liar, Duke. Take that back.
Like fun I will,
okay,
you're
then,
a liar.
Okay, then, you asked for it.
You bet I did.
I made a bad mistake, Steve, losing my temper with Duke.
What do you mean, Babe?
Duke's sore at me now, and he's sore at Bobby Lee for beating him out of the first-string catcher's job. He won't rest till he finds out the truth.
What truth?
Where I found Bobby.
Well, I meant to ask you about that. What's this big mystery about where you discovered him? And incidentally, where did you?
I can't tell even you, Steve.
Oh, why not?
You might talk in your sleep. And if Duke found out, it'd be just too bad for Bobby and for the Yankees.
I smelled a terrific story, but the big fellow stayed mum as a clam. A couple of days later, though, in Norfolk, the bomb exploded. It was in the Yankee clubhouse after the game. Duke Adams, coming back to his locker from the shower, suddenly began to yell his head off.
I've been robbed! Hey, somebody swiped my wallet. It was right here in my locker, in my coat, when I went to take my shower a couple of minutes ago, but it's gone now.
There was $200 in it.
Well, maybe it dropped on the floor, Duke.
I looked all over. Some son of a gun swiped it.
Nobody swiped it, Duke.
How do you know, Lee?
Because my locker's next to yours, and I was right here all the time you were in the shower. Nobody came near your locker.
Are you sure, Bobby?
I'm positive, babe.
Well, you must have lost it some other place, Duke.
No, I didn't. And I know the answer now.
Huh? What do you mean?
I should have figured it right away. Bobby Lee here stole my wallet.
Are you right, Bobby? Now, look here, Duke.
He said himself nobody else came near my locker. And he's an ex-convict, isn't he?
An ex-convict?
That's right. Lee was in the big house for burglary before he joined the Yankees. Do you deny that, Lee?
Well, I... No.
You hear that, fellas?
But I didn't steal your wallet. And if you say
wait
I did,
minute,
I'll...
Bobby. You're a louse for bringing that up, Duke, and for accusing a man without proof.
Maybe I can find a proof, babe. Let's have a look in Lee's locker.
Go ahead, Duke. Search my locker.
That's what I'm doing. Now, wait, what's this? Here's my wallet. Lee stashed it in one of his shoes.
Huh? Loud, Pete.
You planted it there yourself, Duke.
Why, you dirty lying cunt.
You framed me to get me off the club, but you can't get away with it. I'm going to make you a admit.
Oh, yeah? Oh, dirty. Oh,
now, look, here's the reason I asked Steve to bring your reporters in here. Bobby Lee served time for burglary, yes. The district attorney told me, though, he was convinced Bobby was innocent, and he took the rap to shield his kid brother. But even if Bobby was guilty, he paid the penalty and his slate is clean. Now, he's entitled to a sporting chance, isn't that right?
Oh, sure he is, babe, but the...
Babe, he stole $200 from Duke Adams.
Oh, no, he didn't steal Duke's money. And if you guys will give me a chance, I'll prove it.
You will?
Yes, I will. I want you fellas to hold up the story of what happened in the clubhouse today for 24 hours.
Babe, it's a big story.
If you print the story now, Bobby Lee will be crucified. He'll go back to jail, the Yankees will lose the greatest catching prospect in years. But give me just 24 hours and I'll prove Bobby is innocent. And I'll give you the real crook, too. What do you say, fellas?
Well, all right, I'll go along with you, babe.
So will I. Count me in.
Okay, fellas, that's it.
Now listen, babe, you think Duke Adams framed Bobby, don't you?
Could be, Steve.
You do think so. But how do you expect to prove it?
Well, I'd rather not tell you yet, Steve. It's a long chance, and well, you'd think I was nuts.
Well, let me point this out to you. You put yourself on a hot spot, getting the club and reporters to hold off exposing Bobby, not having him arrested. If you can't prove he's innocent and he takes a powder, your name will be mud.
I know that, Steve.
But you're still going through with it?
You bet I am. You and the other reporters be at the ballpark tomorrow morning. We're having practice. You'll see the payoff then, I hope.
I was at the ballpark the next morning. So were the other reporters. The big fellow told us to stand behind the wire batting cage. Then he called all the players over.
Okay.
Hey, here's the babe now. Hey,
fellas, yeah. Hug's got a cold today. I talked to him, and we decided you guys need a hard batting drill. So I'm going to pitch to you.
You, babe?
That's right, Duke. Any objections?
No, of course not. Why should I object?
Oh, you might have a good reason.
What do you mean?
You'll find out. Now, look, fellas, there's another reason I'm going to pitch batting practice. Bobby Lee was framed yesterday, and one of you guys framed him.
One of us?
Yeah.
Say, what is it?
Yeah, one of you guys, and I know who the guy is. Now, get this. I used to be a pretty fair country pitcher. I haven't pitched for a long time. I might be a little wild, especially when the rat who framed Bobby comes up. Okay, go on up there and take your licks.
I was puzzled and tense as I gathered with the other reporters behind the batting cage and watched the big fellow start pitching to the Yankee players. What was he up to? I was sure he wouldn't purposely hit Duke. He laid the ball in there, high, low, working the corners, and his control was as sharp as when he was the best southpaw pitcher in baseball. One after the other, the Yankees walked into the cage, hit three of the big fellow's pitches, and walked back to the end of the line. The tension kept mounting. There wasn't any kidding among the players, as there usually was. Then it was Duke Adams' turn. I felt a little chill run up my spine, and my throat got tight. Duke hesitated outside the cage, and the big fellow called to him.
Well, what are you waiting for, Duke? Get in there.
I got a crick in my back, babe. I think I skipped this round.
You need the practice. Get in the cage.
But I tell you...
You're not telling me anything. I'm telling you. I'm in charge here today. Now get in there.
Duke walked into the cage nervously, tapped his bat on the plate. Babe stood out on the mound, glaring down at him, and he looked bigger even than he was. Then he wound up, a long, deliberate windup, and let fly. The ball rocketed in as if it was shot out of a gun over the inside corner and level with Duke's head. Duke jumped back a foot. He was pale as a ghost. The big fellow wound up and fired again, just a shade closer this time. Duke jumped back again, and Babe fired a third one in the same place, so fast you could hardly see it. This time, Duke jumped back so hard he lost his balance and landed on the seat of his pants. Some of the reporters and players laughed, nervously. Duke jumped to his feet, shaking a little, and yelled at Babe.
You're trying to beat me! I got enough of this!
Get back in there, Duke. You've got to hit three.
Nuts! You're not going to kill me!
It's your guilty conscience, brother. I caught the corner of the plate every time. Hey, you reporters back there, am I right?
Yeah, they were right on.
You hear that, Duke? Now get back in there and hit.
Duke had to walk back into the cage then, wiping the sweat off his face. The big fella grinned wickedly, then wound up and started to fire. Three times the ball blazed straight at Duke's head, then broke sharply before it reached the plate and curved away. But each time, Duke hit the dirt. And the third time, he let out a howl, jumped up, and started out of the cage. His eyes were rolling wildly in his head, and he was shaking all over. Babe was off the mound like a flash and grabbed him.
He tried to kill me. He tried to kill me.
Ah, wait a minute, Duke.
Hey, let me go. You tried to kill me. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, no, you're not. Not till you admit the truth. You framed Bobby Lee, didn't you? You put your wallet in his locker yourself.
Let me go.
Didn't you?
Yes, I didn't know.
We heard you the first time. Steve, get the parked cop and take this rat away.
He's got it coming to him.
Babe, I still can't believe it. How'd you do it?
Simple psychology, Steve. I was sure Duke planted his wallet in Bobby's locker, figuring to make it stick because Bobby had once been in trouble.
Well, yes, but...
Now, a guy who would do that is not only a rotten sport, but he's yellow. So I figured if I got him into the batting cage and let him know I suspected him, he'd be sure those high, close ones were meant to kill him. But he had to stay in there because all your reporters said my pitches were over the plate. Quitting would be giving himself away.
But he lost his nerve and cracked up.
Right. Just the way I hoped he would, Steve.
Oh, Babe, when your playing days are over, be sure to see me, will you? I know a detective agency that'll be glad to give you a job.
I'll remember that, Steve.
Sportsman's Park in Crosley Field. Griffith Stadium in Forbes Field. The Baker Bowl. The Polo Grounds. Ebbets Field.
There used to be a ballpark where the grass was warm and green, and the people played their crazy game with a joy I've never seen. And the air was such a wonder from the hot dogs and the beer. Oh, there used to be a ballpark right here. And there used to be rock candy and a big 4th of July with fireworks exploding all across the summer sky. And the people watched in wonder how they'd laugh and how they'd cheer. Used to be a ballpark right here. Now the children try to find it, but they can't believe their eyes.
'cause the old team isn't playing and the new team hardly tries. And the sky has got so cloudy, it used to be so clear. Summer went too quickly. Oh, the summer went too quickly this year. And there used to be a ball right here.
I went to some old ballparks. Yeah, I did. I was an old man. I was even old then, you know. No, I actually went to, the Polo Grounds, the old Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, and I even saw a baseball game at Bloomington Stadium in Minnesota. Cool, huh? That was a garbage place, I'm telling you. Anyway, all right, so take me out to the ball game up there. The first recorded edition from Harvey Hindermeyer from 1908, a couple of months before the hit from Edward M. Meeker, okay? That was before that. It's great. At a baseball game was Billy Murray from 1905. From 1923, it was Ethel Olson at the baseball game. Jimmy and Maggie at the ball game was Ada Jones and Henry Spencer, okay? We had Chuck Brodsky, The Curse of the Billy Goat. You know about that, don't you? Oh, well, that's, listen to that song again. Casey at the Bat, that was Garrison Keillor. And, there's always two sides to every story. The Old Highlander, that was a Bob and Ray bit from Biff Burns in the Sports Room. Let's see, The Catfish from Bob Dylan, and The Adventures of Babe Ruth, the Bobby Lee story. I had to cut that down a couple of minutes. There was all kinds of effluvium and commercials for the Air Force and stuff like that. I'll try not to do that again. Terry Cashman, there used to be a ballpark. Yep, there used to be. And, I also been to Fenway Park, too. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, speaking of Fenway Park, got a couple of tunes for the Red Sox. They're kind of my adopted home team now since I'm up in Maine. They're all right, but they're not the Mets. All right. So anyway, I present this to you, my Red Sox people. Otherwise, I will be back next week when we try again for something. We got to always try something, right? So anyway, see ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Red Sox Mambo.
Rock, and Jimmy Williams calls all the shots. A little bit of Nomar every night. Alvin Giraldi. If oil can Boyd hadn't been such a nutcase, and Jim Rice had twice taken an easy extra base, if the Red Sox had had a better playoff fourth starter, instead Nipper served up a big fat slider to Carter, what would Seaver have done if not for his bum knee? Would he have taken the ball and exacted revenge on his old team? If Gooden had pitched like the real Dr. K, or Donnie Moore hadn't had that nightmare day that stuck with him till he couldn't take any more and turn his own kitchen into a killing floor. And John McNamara, what the hell was he thinking? Was it him, not the party boy, meant doing all the drinking? If he'd hit snagged if it ever been hit, and Mookie's last name would now be 86. Bob Stanley picked a pretty bad time to uncork a wild pitch, and I'm sure he's still thinking that you could have blocked it. Tying run might have not been tallied by Mitch. If one play killed the Sox, can you please tell me which? I guess everything happens for some sort of reason, and there must be a tragic end to every long season. If even one man doesn't do one thing he does, we'd all know Bill Buckner for just what he was. A pretty tough out for the Dodgers, Red Sox, and as tough to walk as he was to strike out. But there's only one play that ever gets talked about. Now some